All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome on into the Auburn Daily Show. I'm your host, Lance Thal, hanging out here with you on this beautiful Thursday afternoon in Auburn, Alabama. No Zach today, riding solo on the Thursday edition of the Auburn Daily Podcast. Today, I want to get to something that I wrote about just a couple of days ago. Now, if you've been following along over on auburndaily.com, you saw on the 7th, I put out a stat of the day article, as we try and do every single day here over at Auburn Daily. And the question was, what is Auburn football's deepest unit in 2023? I want to dive into what we discovered in that article. Also going to talk about Auburn in the NFL, six players getting invited to the NFL draft combine. And then also I want to talk a little bit about returning production for the Tigers and overall in college football, because I'm a nerd and I love analytics and stuff like that. If you have not subscribed to the show already, please make sure that you do that. If you're listening on podcast, you can follow us on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. Make sure you are following us both on YouTube and on Twitter to stay updated on everything going on over on the site if you're not already checking out auburndaily.com as well. So let's go ahead and get into it. So again, like I mentioned, we try and put out a stat of the day article every single weekday here on the website. And the question again was, what is the Tigers' deepest unit on roster? So in order to kind of figure that out, outside of just looking at the bodies in the room, I decided to go through Pro Football Focus and add up every single position's snap counts. And the reason that I did this is to kind of get an idea, okay, as to how much legitimate playing time is Auburn returning. It's not just, oh, well, this guy's a senior. The question is, okay, well, how much has he actually played? And I specifically went and added up every snap from the 2022 season. I did not count seasons prior. I think it's important to kind of keep that in mind as we work with some of these transfers as well. Clearly, some of these guys are more experienced, but to be completely honest with you, if I went through and ran the numbers with every single year of college that every single one of these players have had, it's not necessarily going to skew the numbers as much or as differently than they already are. So let's go ahead and get into it. I want to note something here. I added up every single position snap count, and then I also did every single average snap count for each individual player at each position to kind of give you an idea of what the average player at that spot, you know, how much experience does he truly have. Wide receiver has over 1,400 snaps in between nine players. That is 1,403 snaps. Tight end has 1,086 over five players. Tackle is a really interesting one that we're probably going to talk about quite a bit today. 1,989 snaps, and that's between three players, but we're going to get to why maybe that's interesting in a second. Guard has 755 snaps in between three players. It's one of the least experienced units on the team. Center has 1,999 between three players. Halfback has 911. Obviously, with Tank Bigsby gone, that number goes down a little bit. Quarterback, 825 snaps through three players. Cornerback has 2,273 between four players. Defensive line has the most snaps out of anybody, the most experience in terms of raw snap count on the roster, 2,528 snaps in between nine players. Edge, 438 snaps in between two players. This is the thinnest unit on the roster, hands down. Linebacker, 1,556 snaps in between eight players. And then safety, 1,905 snaps in between seven players. So a couple of things to note there right off the bat. Tackle obviously is a big number on the offensive side of the ball. In fact, it's the largest number that the Tigers have on that side in terms of just raw snap count from 2022. Defensive line, like we mentioned, is the most experienced unit on the team with over 2,500 snaps in between these nine players that the Tigers have. And again, I want to reiterate, this also includes some players from the transfer portal. It includes all 12 players from the transfer portal that Auburn has added. Tackle, though, is an interesting spot. So it's almost 2,000 snaps worth of experience in between three players. So obviously the average snap count is going to be very high, which we're going to see in a second. But the interesting thing here is that the only player on roster that was not a transfer tackle that Auburn returns, I mean, they return a few, but the only player that got any meaningful playing time that actually got to see the field had one snap. According to PFF, Avery Jernigan at some point played tackle. I might have misread it. I looked back over it a couple different times. I'm going to have to go back and look, but it was one player on the offensive line for Auburn that is returning that played tackle. It got one snap. Auburn had one snap of experience at tackle heading into this season. Had they not gone out and gotten Gunnar Britton and Dylan Wade. That is huge that they ended up getting them, because statistically it ends up being their most experienced position on roster. If you want to listen back to Tuesday's episode and Monday's episode, Zach Blackerby and I on Tuesday, Dylan Lark and I on Monday talked a lot about Gunnar Britton and about how excited we are for him heading into this year. He may be one of the most valuable pieces on this roster already, and he may end up being one of the most valuable players at the end of the season, barring injury, of course. But tackle is an interesting spot, again, because of just the lack of experience previously. Wide receiver is another spot that I thought was really interesting, with 1,400 snaps in between nine players. Wide receiver ends up averaging out as one of the least, it actually is the least experienced group, with only 156 snaps in between these nine players on average. But I also think it's interesting to note that the Tigers, while maybe lacking experience, so to speak, in that department, also, you know, have a lot of guys in that room that I think could potentially pop off. Landon King is somebody that hardly didn't get any playing time last year that honestly should have gotten more. Nick Mardner from the transfer from Cincinnati is in now. Javarius Johnson's probably going to get a little bit more playing time simply because I think Auburn's probably going to be throwing the ball a little bit more. They're going to have more receivers on the field, period. So that, I expect that number to go up, and that's not something I'm particularly concerned about. Tight end, there will probably be 500,000 snaps in here if John Samuel Schenker was still here, but he has graduated. The fact that Rivaldo Fairweather is in this spot has definitely elevated this. I'm curious to see what he does for Auburn in terms of what his experience brings to the table. Guard, like I mentioned a couple minutes ago, it's thin, but I also think Auburn has depth here. They've also brought in some freshmen that I think they may be excited to play. Same with center, almost 1,200 snaps between three players. Connor Liu is somebody that I think could also make the two deep here, if I'm being completely honest, before the end of fall camp later on this season. Halfback is also something I don't think people should be concerned about. Less than 1,000 snaps here between four players, but Jarquez Hunter, Jeremiah Cobb, Damari Alston, Brian Batty. I mean, these guys are really, really talented. I'm excited to see what this backfield does. I'm excited to see how Philip Montgomery and Hugh Freeze utilize this. Are they going to make Jarquez the bell cow back? I think a question we're going to have to ask at some point through the summer is, will Auburn see a 1,000-yard rusher? Because it's been kind of a streak here without Auburn actually seeing one of those for quite some time after being one of the nation's leading teams in that department. It's going to be interesting to see how that group is used. Quarterback, this number may go up here in a few weeks, just depending on what Auburn does in the transfer portal. A couple months, I should say. Cornerback, we're switching over to defense now. I mean, it's very clear to me that I think the defense is the most experienced side of the ball easily, and it's also, I think, the most exciting side of the ball when it comes to what the play could potentially be elevated to. Now, don't get me wrong, the offense, I think, is going to take the next step. With Robbie Ashford at quarterback, if Auburn does nothing in the portal, I'm conflicted on how we feel about that, because there's a lot of upside right now, right, with Robbie Ashford, but there's also a lot of questions just simply based on his performance last season. So I think that in our minds, we can easily set a ceiling better than we can, or for the offense, better than we can for the defense. Ron Roberts, I'm interested to see what his defense does schematically. I'm also interested to see what it does for these players as far as what they struggled with last year. Because you got 1,550 snaps at linebacker between eight players, but how much better are they truly going to be? Obviously, DeMario Tolan, Austin Keys, two guys coming in that are going to really help this unit out a lot. But how much does that truly elevate? We're just going to have to see. A lot of this is like, okay, we got depth here. How much is this actually going to impact us on the field? We're going to get to returning production in a little bit, by the way, just a hole to see where Auburn stands nationally, because it actually is pretty impressive relative to what they have been. Defensive line, like I mentioned, I am thrilled with this group. And if Colby Wooden was coming back, whoo, boy, this would be a really good defensive line, I think. I think, again, it's similar to the linebacker group in that, you know, they didn't perform particularly well last year, got gouged in a lot of different areas, particularly in the run game. How do they look this year under a new defense? I think there's reason to believe that this D-line, especially with some of these transfers and this depth coming in, that they're going to be pretty solid. Safety and cornerback. I mean, you could have essentially grouped this group together and it could have been the most experienced group on the team. Cornerback, Auburn brings back four guys. Safety, Auburn brings back a few guys as well. You have to be really intrigued with this defensive backfield. I know Ron Roberts' calling card is stopping the run and creating turnovers. At least that's what he did at Baylor. But man, I think this pass defense, if this defensive line does improve, this pass defense is going to get a lot better. It was not particularly solid last year in terms of what it was doing in the SEC, but nationally, it was impressive in some categories. And I expect, you know, like I mentioned, turnovers to be a bigger part of that. And this cornerback group and the safety group, because of their experience, should be able to capitalize, especially with what I would argue is a better scheme fit for some of these guys as far as what Auburn wants to do physically on the outside. Maybe that's just me. That's the way Auburn recruited under Malzahn. That's the way Auburn recruited in their first year under Harsin. They got guys that could kind of physically impose their will, but they haven't necessarily been utilized in the best way. So defense, very experienced in terms of, you know, comparative to the rest of the SEC. But again, it all comes back to, what does this actually look like on the field? What does the product look like? We can sit here and speculate all we want, but there's not really any telling until we get to see it maybe in the spring game. It's really difficult to take a lot away from any A day, but this one in particular could be interesting because of what Auburn may elect to do. But even in a vanilla offense, you know, just trying to try some different things out. I'm excited to see what that looks like. You look at the average snap count, 663 for offensive tackle per player is the most experienced on the group, unit on the team. Already talked about that. Cornerback is second. Center is third. Defensive line is fourth. Quarterback is fifth. Safety is sixth. Guard is seventh. Halfback is eighth. Edge is ninth. Tight end is 10th. Linebacker is 11th. And wide receiver is 12th. So linebacker and wide receiver are the two least experienced spots per snap count per player. But again, it's really hard to kind of like take any stock into this whenever you look at where they are on the total snap count. And also some of these positions, I think it may not be the worst thing in the world that Auburn is inexperienced in some of these spots. I think it may be really good, particularly on the offensive line, that Auburn starts to bring in some new talent there, considering what we saw last year. I think the biggest thing, we talked about this on Monday and Tuesday, the biggest thing is Auburn's tackles, man. The fact that they were able to get Dylan Wade and Gunnar Britton is massive, 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 massive. We cannot emphasize that enough. What they do on the field this year is going to be crucial, I think, to this, to the way this team wants to operate. And that affects the defensive side of the ball at times, too. So that's our thoughts on the Auburn snap counts totals. Again, if you want to go check that out, you can go head over to auburndaily.com, and the title of the article is, "What is Auburn football's deepest unit?" All right, before we continue along to, you know, just kind of combing over six Auburn players invited to the combine, I want to kind of dive into some of the ESPN returning production that Bill Connolly's put out. Before we get to all of that, I want to tell you guys about our friends over at NordVPN. Staying safe online is an ever-growing difficulty. You can be exploited by hackers really easily online nowadays, just kind of browsing the web. It's really easy to get kind of pulled into something without knowing what's truly going on behind the scenes. NordVPN, though, can help you stay secure, allows you to change your IP address, making it really hard to track, securing your privacy. And NordVPN is giving Auburn Daily listeners and readers a very special deal. If you want to check out the link in the episode's description today, you will easily start to improve your browsing experience by becoming more safe in what you're doing online and making sure that you're not heading into any places online that you shouldn't be. And if you do, NordVPN is going to be able to have your back there. So again, head over to NordVPN, click the link in the description. Thank you so much to NordVPN for sponsoring this video. All right, continuing along here on the Thursday edition of Locked On Kentucky, Lance Dahl can't talk here with you. Auburn football has six players that have been invited to the 2023 NFL Combine. Those six players are, if you have not already seen, Tank Bigsby, Colby Wooden, Derek Hall, Ecu Liotta, Owen Papo, and Anders Carlson. Only one offensive player there, one special teams, four defensive players. I think the only thing that I have to kind of take away from this is the fact that Auburn has several players that, according to NFL draft scouting websites, whatever you may want to call them, Auburn's got a lot of players with third round value. Now, I think the word value is interesting there because these guys may end up being worthy of third round selections, but they're not. I don't think most of these guys are going to end up being third round selections. Tank Bigsby would start this off here. I'm really curious to see what teams are interested in him. I definitely think a place like the Bills could be an interesting spot to kind of complement him with what they've got going on in their backfield right now. If I'm not mistaken, it's David Montgomery in their backfield right now. I may be completely off on that. But Bigsby is somebody that needs to go and be a complimentary back, I think, in the NFL right out of the gate as a rookie to somebody that can kind of lead the way. He needs to be the number two in a 1-2 punch in the NFL to start things off. I don't know if throwing him into the fire and saying, all right, you're our number one guy is really the best thing for any team to begin with. Not because of his lack of ability. Obviously, he's one of the most talented players Auburn's had in a while in that running back spot. But it seems like there are a few other running backs in this class that are maybe more suited for that. And so Bigsby, I think to start things off, would definitely be better off getting a spot where he can kind of develop and learn and grow. Colby Wooden is another guy that I think I've seen has third round value as well. Colby Wooden and Ekwu Liotta are really interesting considering how little they have kind of like produced, part of it being injury, obviously. But Colby Wooden is somebody that I think NFL teams have to be very excited about simply because of one word. It's something that you hear a lot whenever it comes to professional sports. It's the versatility. I'm sorry, my mind completely blanked out. At 6'8", 260, I mean, essentially, this guy is one of the better pass rushers Auburn's had, especially paired with Derek Hall. What he does against the run, I think, may be brought into question at times. So, again, it's physically, I think he's really, really exciting for different teams. And then I also think that, you know, in terms of longevity, you like the versatility that Wooden brings to the table. But is he a third-round selection? I'm thinking maybe fourth or fifth, somewhere around there, if I'm being completely honest. Derek Hall is somewhere between a late first-rounder and a mid-second-rounder. I think Auburn fans got themselves hyped up on Roger McCreary potentially going the first round last year. I'm going to stick with that narrative and say I don't know if Derek Hall is going to be a first-round draft pick. Nothing of his own that he could really do about that. I spoke with him at the Senior Bowl last week. Really, really awesome chat. Really, really great guy. Very, very professional in the way that he handles himself. Wish him nothing but the best. But I'm very concerned that Auburn is putting themselves in a position right now, at least some of the media are, where they expect something out of the draft that is not reality relative to what these NFL scouts and these teams are thinking. I would love to see Derek Hall go in the first round. I would love to. Would really, really. I want him to go in the first round. I just don't want people to get their hopes up and him be a mid to late second round pick and everybody be sitting there going with like with McCreary, what the heck happened? Well, there's nothing that Hall really did. He's still a very uber talented player. It's just everybody else just kind of was looking at other things outside of the Auburn sphere. Ekwu Liotta, again, like I mentioned, is somebody that could be like a third round pick. He could be a seventh round pick just simply based on the fact that he didn't get to play a lot this year. Owen Papo, I am intrigued with where he falls. I'll just say that. And then Anders, I'm also curious to see if he gets drafted just based on his namesake. And then also I think that he showed earlier on in his career that he has talent, but very inconsistent over his final two seasons. Don't know what quite to blame that on outside of his injury in 2021. So really hope that all these guys get drafted. Really hope that all these guys are able to show out. And yeah, Auburn's got six players going to the combine. If they get two players drafted, that's more than they had last year. Auburn this year, though, just talking about what they're doing on the field for college, has one of the most experienced SEC teams out there in terms of returning production. So it's that time of year. You can go check out this article over at auburndaily.com. I would prefer, if you're going to look at the returning production, to head over to auburndaily.com and then click the link that we have in bold for Bill Connolly's college football team's returning production article, or you can head over to ESPN.com to just check that out as well. It's an ESPN Plus article, so if you're not subscribed to ESPN Plus, you're going to have to pay to see it. But I would highly encourage you guys to go check that out instead of me just reading off every single team on here, because that would not be right. But the Tigers, in Bill Connolly's returning production article, which he does every single year, comes in at number 28 nationally in returning overall production. Now, you may say, well, why is this relevant? Well, last year, Auburn was 66th nationally. And in 2021, they were 54th. And for as long as I've been doing this, they have consistently fallen somewhere between that 70 to 50 range. They have consistently been like bringing back 65% of their production for what feels like forever. That's just kind of been what Auburn is. They've managed the roster pretty well relative to some other schools. They don't have a ton of turnover consistently, and they've just kind of been solid in that department. But they've never been truly good whenever it comes to bringing back a lot of different pieces, at least, again, not from what I've seen. The thing that makes returning production so important is not necessarily, oh, well, more experience means more wins. That can be the case in some teams' circumstances, but I think overall it would be agreed upon that if you have more experienced players that are talented, that's the specific point there, then you are going to have more success than you did the previous season. And the fact that Auburn is not having to kind of bring in 500,000 players, I mean, they brought in a decent amount, but they're not going to be able to have to bring in 500,000 players, particularly on the defensive side of the ball here, is really, really nice. So again, like I mentioned, Auburn 28th nationally in returning production. They bring back 71% of their production, so to speak, from last year. Again, if you want to go read the kind of breakdown on how Bill Connolly runs these things, what production is, why it's valuable, you can again go check that out over on ESPN.com, and it's an ESPN Plus article. 72% of offense production is coming back for the Tigers. That is 44th nationally. 71% on the defensive side of the ball, so that's 38th nationally. Add that together, that's good for 28th best in the country. That is third in the SEC. There are only two SEC teams that bring back more production than Auburn. That is Texas A&M and Missouri, who are both top 10 nationally in returning production. A&M should see a jump in, I think, on-the-field product improvement, just visually how it looks. And then I also think they're going to see a statistic improvement because of how many young guys they played last year and how many players that just decided that they didn't want to leave after a 5-7 season, which is kind of surprising to me, just based on the way that A&M is operated. Missouri is also another interesting school. This doesn't necessarily feel like a make or break year for Eli Drinkwitz, but the fact that he's able to bring back a bunch of guys from last year is nice. Not too thrilled about his quarterback situation there in Como, but that's just kind of what they have to deal with. I mean, same thing here. I mean, a lot of people looking on the outside into the situation will say that Auburn's quarterback situation is bad, but I don't necessarily know if that's true. So what do we know about Missouri? And that's the thing here that I wanted to point out about the Tigers is that they're third in the SEC, and they're finding themselves in an interesting spot where over this past half decade plus, they've not been one of the more experienced teams in the SEC. They've had to rely on different things to be successful, but they're going to have this foundation. And on top of that, they're going to have 12 players in the transfer portal that I think are going to add on to this and make this impact. I think that's actually factored into Auburn's total percentage in terms of returning production. So it's exciting to see Auburn statistically be good in a category because of how poorly things went last year. You have to be, at least again, the word we've been using on this show, intrigued with what does this product look like? Collectively, what does it look like? Because sure, Auburn may be bringing back a ton of production. Historically, that may mean more success to some degree. It's also a matter of chemistry and how this coaching staff brings these guys together. Because of how Brian Harsin handled things and how players kind of responded to him as he went out the door, I'm on pause to see how this coaching staff kind of reins things in, how they kind of bring all these players together. It's very similar, like teams in college basketball. If you bring in 4 or 5 transfers, I mean, it's a very small roster, obviously, so it's a little bit different of a situation, but you have to figure out how to get all these transfer guys from all these different places to come together and to gel. You didn't get a high school class that has been here for 2 or 3 years together. You've got players that are just from all over the place that are trying to sit in for 1 year or two and make it happen. With Auburn and their 12 transfers, I mean, they've got guys that are obviously have 3 or 4 years of eligibility left, depending on where you look, but these guys as a whole, this transfer class and this overall roster, I wonder how they gel. underneath Hugh Freeze. There's a really good example to be set with not utilizing the transfer portal too much. I think Michigan State and Mel Tucker have been a prime example of what not to do with the transfer portal, which is lean on it to be your foundation for your program, at least for more than 1 year at a time. There's no sense in it. It's not going to be sustainable. So I think this is a 1 year type of thing for Hugh Freeze. I mean, he said as much, but I'm curious to see if we see the Michigan State level of chemistry, just all of a sudden these guys gel really together. And there was a great scout on all these different guys and how they fit, but I'm kind of talking myself in circles here, but that's just kind of how I feel about that is there's a lot of pause for this season, both in what they bring back snap count wise, and then also what they bring back production wise as a whole. Combine that with what's happening on the recruiting trail, just how much they've had to add on to the already experienced roster, so to speak. And I think it's all going to be interesting to see how it plays out. So if you've got any comment on that, if you've got any comment on where Auburn stands right now in the returning production, ranks nationally in college football, you can leave that in the YouTube comments below. If you have any questions for the show, you can also leave that in the YouTube comments below as well. That's going to do it for today's episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Again, you can follow us on Twitter at the Auburn Daily. You can follow me on Twitter at @LanceDahl_. And you can always check out our written work over at auburndaily.com. We will see you all tomorrow for another episode of the Auburn Daily Show. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and God bless.